remain standing this morning for the reading of the Word of God. If you would please, just remain standing, and we'll read our text together this morning. And I'll tell you, I want to be as fast as I can be this morning, okay? And so, I mean that. And you pray for us as we try to bring the thought that God's laid on our heart for the morning hour. Okay, I'm going to turn your Bible to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 7. Proverbs, chapter number 7, if you would please, here in the morning hour. Proverbs in chapter number 7. I want to begin reading. I'm going to read the entire chapter, and so you can understand what I'm preaching. I'll not preach every verse. Thank God for that. We'd be here a long time. But I will point out a few of the verses as I bring the thought in the morning hour. He said in verse 1, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black of the and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him with her impudent face. And her impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not home, O Lord. He is gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline her ways, go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, amen, going down to the chambers of death. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word today. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour this morning, the worship time, the song service. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Thank you for the mercy that we found when we knelt at the cross. Thank you, Lord, for lifting burdens from troubled hearts. And thank you, Lord, for healing the sick. Thank you, Lord, for touching those that are troubled and tempted. You may lead them through their hour of trial. I pray today that you'd bless us as we come together with your divine presence. May you breathe upon the service, breathe upon myself. Fill me, I pray, with the Spirit of God. Grant me the liberty of thought and mind that I need today to express, Lord, that which you've laid upon my heart. May the Spirit of God take it and use it. Bring glory to your wonderful name through saving sinners. and helping and blessing the people of God. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that is accomplished, for we ask it in Jesus' name. For his sake we pray, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to make some statements this morning, and I want to say some of them I hope you'll take in the right, take in the right attitude and frame of mind. I may say some things or use some words to you that may not sound exactly correct, but nonetheless, God's given them to me, and I want to preach on them today, okay? And try to bring a thought out of this passage, and I'll use some verses in it, and I'll use some thoughts of my own. But I want to preach this morning on the pride of purity. It doesn't seem like there's much pride in young people today in being pure. It's almost like we live in an hour that young people have got to lose their virginity and their chastity at a young age. I read somewhere the other day where they took a survey, and out of that survey, it said that girls, every girl they surveyed, had already been with a young man by the time they turned the age of 13. And you know, that's a real shame for morality in America. I read an article the other day, not in our country, but in another country, where a woman, a mother, was rejoicing because her 10-year-old daughter was to give birth to a child. And, you know, that's another sign of the immorality and the ungodliness that has hit our nation and around the world. And it doesn't seem like there's much pride at all in being chaste in the hour that we're living in. You know, the old saying, and I hate to use these words, but it's a saying they use, if it feels good, do it. And but you know something? Those kind of things can get you in a mess in your life, just doing what you want to do and doing what feels good rather than following the commandments of the Lord. That's what he said we ought to do here, is follow his commandments. And walk in his ways and be obedient to his precepts is what God has told us. But you know, young people today, I think are going to have to be chaste and reserved if they're going to live a Christian life. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean by that?" Well, I mean they must be sexually pure. And they must be marked by self-restraint. There's not a great deal of restraint on people in the day that we're living in the generation that we're living in America today. As I said a moment ago, people do that which seems right in their own eyes, and there seems to be no restraint in what they do. Brother Gray brought out the maniac of Gadara this morning in the Sunday school hour. And until that man met Jesus, there was absolutely no restraint at all in his life. He did what he wanted to do, and there was no man that could control him. They put him in fetters and chains, and he broke them every time, and no man could control him. He was going to do that which was right in his own eyes, and he did. But you know, when Jesus passed by his way, things changed and things began to pick up in his life. And I'm glad that by the grace of God, hey, young people don't have to live in immorality. Amen. Young ladies, you do not have to lose your virginity in the back seat of an automobile. Amen. And by the way, young men, you don't have to lose your virginity in the back seat of an automobile either. Amen. But there's a lot of people today that are doing that, and I'm telling you, once it's done, and it cannot be reversed. And I'll guarantee you, you will live with that in your mind and your heart the rest of your life and will feel ashamed of it the rest of your life. I'm preaching on the pride of purity. I'm telling you, we ought to take pride today in being pure. But young people out there, they're proud of their actions in this life. They're proud of what they're doing. They're proud of smoking dope and drinking liquor and going to bed at a young age. And I'm telling you, and having sex at a young age, and I'm telling you, according to the Bible, that is not right. God wants young people and old alike to be chaste in their life and to have some self-restraint or self-control in their own life. And by the way, that word self-control simply means temperance. That is one of the fruit of the Spirit, by the way, is temperance. Self-restraint and self-control. And buddy, there's not much. I read recently, and I'm not going to get into all, but I read recently where a movie star from years gone by hanged himself accidentally trying to enjoy his own body in a closet and killed himself trying to fulfill his pleasures in a closet. I'm telling you, that is absolutely the most asinine thing I've ever heard of in my life. But that, and his name was David Carradine, by the way, if you want to know. And I'm telling you, these things are happening all over the world today because there is no self-control in the heart and the lives of people. Come on in the house now. And so young people are going to have to be chaste and they're going to have to be reserved. You're not to be wanton or impure. That is, they're not to be sexually immoral or defiled by sin. There's nothing wrong with a young couple making their way to the altar, being undefiled before God. Amen. Come on in the house now. There's nothing wrong. And I'm going to tell you something that bothers me. These young girls and young boys that go out and commit sin, and this immorality that I'm speaking about, and lose their virginity and their chastity at a young age, and then yet they'll wear a white dress down the aisle of the church and pretend like they're pure and chaste when they're not chaste at all, ladies and gentlemen. They're just making a fair show of it. I'm telling you, but we ought to take pride. You young people, listen to Brother Hall. You ought to take pride in being chaste. You ought to take pride in being pure. There's nothing wrong with being pure. In fact, amen, the Christian life is a pure life that we ought to live. That's absolutely right. He is purifying unto himself a peculiar people who are zealous of good works. And there's nothing wrong with being starting out pure as a young person and living that way through the rest of your life. Somebody said, what about when you get married? The Bible said the marriage is honorable in all and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That's what that Bible says. Amen. I didn't say that. That's what the book says. Amen. And so you ought to be undefiled. After we ought to, young people ought to flee youthful lust. And I'm telling you, that's exactly where this thing, hey, lust leads to, is to losing your chastity and your virginity. Now listen careful. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, he said, flee also youthful lust, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now there's two words in that verse that start with an F. Flee. He said, or to flee youthful lust. Now, I'm just not so sure that some of those lusts don't follow men and women right on down through the years. Amen. But we ought, young people ought to be like Joseph was. When Potiphar's wife done all that she could do, like this woman in chapter number 7 of Proverbs, she tried to flatter him with her lips. She tried to flatter him with her eyes. She tried to entice him in his life. She done everything that she could do to get him in bed with her, but the Bible said she laid hold of his coat and he fled from the house from her. He said, I'm not going to sin against my God and I'm not going to sin against my master. Joseph knew what it was to be a pure young man. And there's nothing wrong with that in our generation that we're living in either. And so he said, you ought to flee from youthful lust. Flee from them. Run from them. Boy, and I'll tell you, they're out there on every corner. They're lurking behind every corner, down every street, in every dark place you can turn to. They're waiting there on you. You better take my word for it. Brother Hall's not proud of it, but I've been around the world a few times. As the old saying goes, I've been around a teapot a couple of times in my life. Are you listening to me? Amen. And I'm going to tell you, there's some things out there. That's right. He said to flee these things, and then he said to follow some things. He said to follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of what? Out of a pure heart. Amen. A pure heart. Now, we understand those that have got a pure heart by the Lord and the right. They've been saved by the grace of God. But he said you ought to flee these youthful lusts and then follow after those. Somebody that's went on before you. That is, hey, young people, there's nothing wrong with you having someone in this life that you look up to that has lived a clean life before you, and there's not many of them left today. I saw a man, and I'm not going to tell you who he was. I'm not going to mention his name, but I saw a man on Friday that him and his wife walked out in front of my automobile and into a store, and I did not get out of my car and speak to the man. I wasn't going to get out and speak to him. I didn't want him to speak to me. I'm going to tell you why. Because he went against everything he had preached for years and years, and now he's went against that. And I don't have much to say to the man. Somebody said, oh, you ought to love him. I do love him, but I'm going to tell you, I don't have much to say about the man. Come on in the house, boys and girls. I tell you, there's people, hey, no wonder young people today are falling into sin. Amen. Come on now, into immorality and indecency. When they watch pastors in the pulpits of the churches that do exactly the same thing that they, hey, that they're doing themselves, how are they going to escape that? Boy, I'm telling you, I got a book I'm reading. Brother Steve gave it to me. I call him Old Crooked Nose. Man's name is Richard Baxter, and he starts out the first two chapters he's talking to preachers, but he's talking to lost preachers. He said he couldn't understand how men could get up and preach and could not preach themselves under conviction. He said he didn't understand how they could get up and preach against sin and then live in that sin themselves. But I'm telling you, I could tell you of a preacher today that was a whoremonger for 13 years, ladies and gentlemen, and preached in the pulpit and tithed to the church all of those 13 years until that sin came out on that man. Now you tell me how in the world a preacher can get up and tell his young people that they ought to live pure and holy and godly when he's out here committing adultery and being a whoremonger in his own life and it not trouble him down in his heart. Praise God, I'd have to duck my head and run. Are you listening to me? We ought to take a little pride in purity. A little pride in purity. Now come on now. Come on. We ought to abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, it's going to get a little touchy right here. Notice what it says in Proverbs 7:10. It said, and behold, there met him. Met who? That simple fella. That guy that was simple. There met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Now, hey, abstain from all appearance of evil. And that does include the clothes that we put on. Boy, if it's quiet, and it's going to get quieter now. The Bible plainly teaches that there is an attire of a harlot. That, hey, that tells us that as God's people, as far as ladies are concerned, there ought to be some modest apparel being worn. Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you what they like. They like to get down here, up here, and up here, down there, and let them meet in the middle to where everything under the sun is revealed. Come on, you can say amen. I'm telling you, I've never seen a crowd. Hey, and the audacity of people, I've seen some that I know that just come from church, and they look more like a harlot than they do a saint. They just come from the house of God. Come on now, help me out, help me out, help me out. But he met a woman with the attire of a harlot. Don't tell me, you know, there's an old saying, clothes make a difference. Buddy, they do. Now I'm going to tell you, it goes the same thing for men. God have mercy. People can claim to be saved out riding on lawnmowers in the summertime with tank tops on their big old fat guts and things and hanging out and mowing grass and one thing another. Short shorts on, old varicose veins are sticking out. Bless God, uglier than homemade sin. Come on now. Amen. It ain't no different, fellas. It ain't no different. I sat down to eat the other night, and I told my wife, Brooke was with us. I said, honey, I said, I'm not going to say anything, but I want you to look at that woman over there with that white blouse on. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to say it vulgar like, but I'll say this, the woman was wearing like a white t-shirt, and friend, I'm going to tell you what,
There was nothing on under it either. And I'll tell you, she very well let that be. I mean, sitting right out in a crowded restaurant, people all around, and you could see what was under. I had to turn my head. I have never seen such immorality, indecency, and ungodliness. Oh, I knew we'd have fun today. Praise God, I'm about to start having fun if you don't loosen up a little bit. But I'm telling you, I didn't ever believe we'd ever live. See, such ungodliness and indecency is worth seeing in America. And the trouble is, it's bleeding over into the house of God amongst God's people, and they're dressed and living the same way.
Amen.
My Bible tells me to come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now you can be covered up from top to bottom and not be modest. Where them clothes are tighter than a hide. You look like you've been melted and run down in the thing. Then them women want to wear them big long dresses. You see a woman with a big long dress and you think, boy, she does. She's dressed good. Then she turns around, she's got a split plumb up to here. And every time she takes a step, them legs bounce out. Come on now. I'm telling you, there's some pride in being pure. There's some pride in being pure. You better believe there are. And clothing, abstaining from all appearance of evil. And then I'm going to tell you something else. The company that we keep. The company, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 10. I'm sorry. Yeah, the company that you keep. Proverbs 1 and verse number 10 said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And verse number 15 said, my son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy feet from their path. Hey, we ought to abstain. Some folks ought to abstain from the company that they keep. You realize that the company you keep has got a lot to say about who you are and what you are. You better believe it is. My preacher used to always say, if you run with the dogs, you'll catch their fleas, and that's right. Amen. If I'm out here running around with a thief all the time, people are going to get the idea that I'm a thief. If I'm out here running around with a doper all the time, people are going to get the idea I'm a doper. If I'm out here running around with a drunk all the time, people are going to think I'm a drunk. And I'm going to tell you something. If I'm out here running around all the time with somebody that's born again, saved by the grace of God, amen, bathed in the blood of the Lord Jesus, been to Calvary, been redeemed, amen, living a godly, holy, pure life, going to church when the church doors are open, they might look at that man and say, he must be saved also.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. That's right. We need to run with the right company. And that company is a church crowd. That's right. That's a church crowd. That's who we need to run with. I appreciate what this young man back here said today. He came in and he said, I'm going to visit every church in Madisonville. I said, boy, you got a lot of them to go to. And I'm going to feel sorry for you in some of them, son. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, at least I appreciate what he said. He said, I'm going to see what they all believe and what they all say. And that, hey, you know, what's wrong with that? What's wrong? That is right. I'm glad he's here this morning. He knows what I believe.
Amen.
He knows that I believe men ought to wear breeches, that women ought to wear dresses. Amen.
Amen.
That women ought to let their hair grow and men ought to cut theirs off.
Amen.
Say amen right there.
Amen.
We need to cover up our body and cover it up with loose apparel that you're not revealing everything that you've got in your body. Don't wear clothes that show every wrinkle, bulge that you've got in your body. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Well, I said, preacher, you're getting mean today. I knew I told you it'd be rough this morning on me. Be rougher on you. Hallelujah. Now, listen carefully. You're to covet not to know the depths of Satan. That is, hey, take pride in being ignorant of the way of the adulterous woman. Now, if you can get a hold of that simple boy, simple one there in chapter number 7, he can't say that. He followed that adulterous woman. And he learned the very depths of Satan. You know what we are? Humans that are unregenerated are people of experiments. Oh, come on now. Come on now, that's exactly what he's saying there. You don't need to know the depths of Satan. You'd be amazed at the people that experiment with these things just to learn the depths of the devil. I'm going to tell you, and it'll go a whole lot deeper than you want to go.
Amen.
It'll cost you a whole lot more than you want to pay. And it'll keep you there a whole lot longer than you want to stay. If you don't believe me, as Jonah, it took him to the bottom of the sea. He took a boy to the bottom of the sea, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right, in a whale's belly. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can get on that ride if you want to. Well, everybody's got to, what's that old saying? Everybody's got to have a taste of the world or something like that. Everybody's got to sow their oats. Go on, sow your oats. But I'm going to tell you, if you sow a handful, you will reap a barn full. You're always going to reap more than you sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Brother, you sow a handful, you will reap a barn full. I guarantee you. If you plant one little old grain of corn in the ground, it will come up on a stalk, maybe have two or three ears on it, and them things will have hundreds of grains on one ear. And the same way with our sowing and reaping. If you sow to the flesh, are you listening to me? That Bible said in Galatians 6, if you sow to the flesh, you shall in the flesh reap destruction. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Amen.
I'm glad, thank God, one day the Holy Ghost came down. What was that? Amen. A little old country boy full of sin and ungodliness and wickedness on my way to hell. Amen. And all I looked for was a good time, a wonderful time, wasn't concerned about nobody or nothing. But one day Jesus passed by where I was. Praise God, I'm glad he turned my life around and gave me a desire to be pure and holy in my heart and in my life. Somebody say amen right there. I'm telling you, Jesus will make a difference in your life. Brother, he'll make a difference. He'll lift up the fallen. He'll wash the unclean. He'll cleanse the soul. He'll bless the heart. He'll build a life. He'll raise a family. He'll build a church. He'll take you to heaven, thank God. Sin will carry you all the way to hell, to the depths of hell. And I'm telling you that Christ will carry you to heaven. Somebody say amen right there. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. So you ought to make a covenant with the depths of not to know the depths of Satan. Then you're to take heed to the beginning of all this, lest Satan gain an advantage upon you or over you. Say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I'm saying young people need to take heed to the baits, lest you be taken in the snares. What did it say there in the verse I read? 23, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Are you listening to what Brother Hall is saying? I'm telling you, there's some baits out there, and there's plenty of bait. Verse number 8 said, and he passed through the street near her corner. Bait number 1. He passed through the street near her corner. Hey, remove thy foot, says in verse number 8, remove thy foot from her way, to he that would be kept from harm. To he that would be kept from harm must be kept from harm's way. If you want to be kept from that harm, be kept from harm's way. In other words, don't fall for the bait. This old boy, hey, she come out of her house. She had her bed perfumed with myrrh and aloe and cinnamon and with tapestry from Egypt. The good man of the house was gone. Isn't that a wickedness? When the good man, she called him the good man of the house, has got a bag of money and he's gone. And I'm here to have myself some fun. I wonder how many folks have been like that. Can't wait till the man gets out of the house. So they can have a little, come on in the house. And the same way it goes with men. Can't wait till mama gets gone so they can have a little fun in the house. Woo! Ain't we having fun today? Praise God. Thank God. I'm telling you, it's in the book though. And she had peace offerings. I'm not going in detail on that because Brother Steve wants to teach on that. I'm going to let him handle that. He's read up on that. It's bad. I could tell you that is bad. She had made her peace offerings. Amen. That's right. He began to fall for that bait. Don't fall for the bait. The Bible said in verse number 8, he went the way of her house, still following the bait. Verse 21 said, with her much speech, she caused him to yield, still following the bait. The Bible also says, verse 21, with the flattering of her eyes, she forced him, still falling for the bait. Verses 17, 16 and 17. The Bible says in verses 16 and 17 that I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved work with fine linen of Egypt. I perfumed my bed with myrrh and alloys and cinnamon. She's still setting the bait. Verse 25 through 27, though, I'm telling you, the snare has been sprung. He followed the bait until the snare was sprung. Now, that's kind of like we was in Vietnam. We'd go out at night and we'd pull an ambush and we'd pull that, call it a goat. Now, I'm telling you, when those VCs or North Vietnamese walked in through our path and we opened up on that ambush, immediately that RTO would call back to headquarters and say, goat sprung! You know why? They walked into the trap. They walked into the snare. And I'm going to tell you what. I've seen many a men die at night because they walked into a trap they didn't know was there. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? And that civil boy or that civil woman, if they're not careful, they'll follow the bait and walk into a trap that they don't know is there. And when the goat is sprung on them, it's too late. Remember that old man, that young boy, back in October of 66, when we pulled that ambush in Fantet province, that old man and little boy laying there humming and singing, chanting some kind of words. I shot all to pieces. I'm going to tell you, they walked into the snare, ladies and gentlemen, just a little boy. He was void of understanding. That old man was void of understanding. They did not realize that being out at night like that, that they were fair game for the United States Army. They didn't realize that. They were so simple. They'd been brainwashed to that degree. And I'm telling you, the world, are you listening to me? The world is brainwashing our people. It's brainwashing our young people. And they're walking into that same trap void of understanding of what the consequences of that trap is going to be in their life. And I'll say it could scar you forever. Amen. No, that's right. Now listen carefully. I'm just about done. I want to mention about four or five things that protect you from that fall. Protect you from that fall. Number one, give heed to instruction. Proverbs 1 and verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Verse number 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that in order to give heed to instruction. Verses 8 and 9, I think I read those for you. 9 says, for they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head, and chains about thy neck. Or to give heed to instruction. And I'm trying to give you some instruction this morning. Hey, don't you boys and girls in here be alone out in that parking lot. And I'm telling you girls in here, if a boy lays a hand on you and you got a high heel shoe on, pick that shoe, take that shoe off and bust him right in the head with the heel of it.
Amen.
He'll leave. Amen. If he lays a hand on you, don't be afraid to slap him across the bridge of his nose. Somebody said, that's not very spiritual. Oh, that's very spiritual. Teach him to keep his hands where they belong. Amen. Don't be caught alone. I'm telling you, I'm giving you some counsel. Don't be caught alone. Don't be caught in a place without supervision. Come on now. Don't be caught out in automobiles by yourself. Head for trouble if you do. You're headed for trouble. The pride of purity. But we ought to take pride in it. I heard, who was it? I think it was, one of the preachers I know. I'll come out thinking of him in a minute. But said that in his lifetime, he had never smoked a cigarette, never took a drink of liquor, never had any dope at all, and never knew a woman until he got saved. I mean, until he got married. And I thought, buddy, that's a testimony. We've got people so dope today, duped up, that they believe a real testimony is that somebody that's went out here like on unshackled and done everything ungodly in the world, and all of a sudden Jesus saves them. And that's a testimony, no doubt about it. But I'm telling you what the real testimony is to be pure till you're saved and then stay pure for God all the way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm talking about two different kinds of purity there, by the way. So give some heed to some instruction. And by the way, you ought to give some heed to instruction of your mother. A little instruction from your father's kids. Somebody said, well, my daddy's so old-fashioned. Good. He makes me wear long dresses. Good. Why, he won't even let me watch television. Good. He don't let me watch things on the computer. Better. Thanks. Give heed to instruction. I want to say secondly, pray earnestly to God for grace to keep you from that sin. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't, you can fall. You're more prone to fall into it than ever. And I'm going to tell you, young people, if you ever learn to pray, pray and ask God to keep you from that sin, to keep you pure. You don't want to be like that simple-minded boy. And you certainly, young ladies, don't want to be like that woman in the attire of a harlot that when her man's gone, she's out chasing after other men. You don't want to be that way. No. You want to be pure. And pray. I'm telling you, prayer can keep you from a whole lot of sin. Prayer will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from prayer. You can just put that down in your book. God, help us to learn to pray and ask God to preserve us and protect us, to watch over us. Somebody said, do you really believe that? Oh, yes, I really believe that. I believe God's able. I believe that's what kept Joseph so pure. Now, I'm going to tell you, I believe that's what allowed David to commit the sin that David committed in his life. Because he forgot to pray. At a time when kings go forth to battle, David was up on top of the roof looking at a naked woman. And it wasn't his first trip up there. He wasn't praying about staying away from her. He was trying to find a way to get to her. Now I'm going to tell you, that's about the way you people are today. It's rather than trying to find a way to stay away from somebody, they're trying to find a way to get to somebody. Come on now. Come on now. Amen. That's right. Now I'm going to tell you something. That's why the divorce courts are overloaded. There's over 50% of marriages today end in divorce. For that very reason right there. Ain't that a shame? God help us. And I want to say thirdly, purify your heart with the Word of God. Psalm 119:9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And I'm here to tell you, you can purify your heart and life through this Bible I'm holding right here, this King James Bible I got in my hand. Stay in that book. I don't understand it, but there's something about that Bible, the word of that Bible, as it flows through you, it cleans you and it'll keep you clean. Now, I don't understand everything about how it works, but I'm telling you, it will. It'll keep you cleaner than lye soap. You know, have you ever been in the shower before and got out and rubbing your hands like that and they squeak? That's called being squeaky clean. Now, I'm going to tell you, that book will keep you squeaky clean.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Keep you squeaky clean. Better believe it will. Get in that book and read it and let the words flow through your heart and through your soul. Purifying your heart and your mind. And by the way, your mind is the devil's workshop. You lay and meditate and think and let your mind run wild on a bunch of nonsense. There's going to come a day when you're going to fulfill the lust of that mind. The lust of the mind will become the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the flesh, amen, it will fulfill itself. And I'm going to tell you what follows it. The Bible said in James that death follows it.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Now, I'm going to say number four. You ought to make a covenant with your eyes. Somebody said, Preacher, what do you mean? Well, let me read Psalm 119 for you. This verse, Psalm 119, I believe, verse number 37. I can find it here. I believe it is in the Bible, ain't it? Psalm 119 and verse number 37 said, Turn away mine eyes. David said, Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Turn away mine eyes. Somebody said, Now what do you mean make a covenant with your eyes? Simply this. Don't let your eyes be the inlets of any impure thoughts and an outlet of any impure desires. Oh, you now get a hold of that. Don't let your eyes be an inlet for impure thoughts. In other words, turn your head. We're sitting, I hope you ain't listening. We're sitting at a car dealer on Friday, and I watch people. And Brookie was in there with us. And this fellow was 24 years old that was waiting on us. And Brooke got up to do something, and I noticed it. Oh, I said, I know what's running through that boy's mind. Now, I'm telling you, them eyeballs, folks, can be an inlet to impure thoughts, and they can be an outlet to inward desires. Make a covenant with them. I shall set no evil thing before mine eyes, David said. I won't say... Finally, and I'll be done. Let your conversation, that is your life, be modest. According to 1 Peter 3:2, modest. You ought to be modest. Modesty is the hedge of chastity and is the ornament of your life. Get a hold of that. Modesty is a hedge about you and an ornament of your life. It'll keep you chaste, girls. And it'll be an ornament of grace about your neck. Modesty will. Don't be ashamed to be modest. Don't worry about them calling you holy rollers and holy Joe and all this stuff.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I've learned to live with all that stuff. I've had some of you go out, tell me you went out to yard sale and see somebody out there dressed like a Christian. They'll say, well, where do you go to work, church? Well, we go over at Island Ford Baptist, Brother Hall preaches. Now, oh. They know who I am. They know what I believe. That's their problem. And everybody that listens to this little thing right here, that's why they know what I believe. Everybody listens to that right there. You'd be amazed at who may be listening to it right now. I had no early idea. But a fellow that cut my hair the other day told me, he said, I listen every night to Dr. Buffington on your radio station. I had no idea he listened. It's untelling who's listening. But I'm telling you, that modesty will be a hedge about your purity. You better believe it will. Dress modest, look modest, live modest, and God will bless you for it. There is some pride in being pure. Wouldn't you like, young lady, young man, wouldn't you like to be able to say when you come to the altar, turn and look at that man or that woman you're marrying and say, I want to tell you something. You are the first woman that I've ever been with. Come on. You're the first man I've ever been with. And I hope the last. Let's stand together.